This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
To connect with Community Waikato on Free FM 89.0. I'm Holly Snape from Community Waikato, and we have Roz and Paddy from Wellington Community Networks Aotearoa. How are you both doing?
Oh, pretty good.
I'm feeling very well, thank you, Holly.
It's marvellous to have you join me for a conversation today, obviously on the phone because you're a little far away. We couldn't quite get you in the studio. But wanted to follow up with you guys around a number of things. Of course, CNA, regardless of being a small team, you're always crazy busy and you've got a lot going on. So today our show, we're going to have a conversation about a blog that you've been doing, Roz, and I love your topic around collaboration versus partnerships. We're going to have a conversation about that. Paddy's going to tell us all about the latest update with Neighbourly Natters. And we're also going to talk about the hui because you guys, there's no rest for the wicked, eh?
No.
Hey, look, Roz, can I start with you? And let's touch on the blog, because I think, you know, these kind of opportunities to sit and think through concepts like collaboration, what does it mean for us and what does it mean to do it in a really meaningful way versus perhaps a partnership and what are the differences? Really cool. And so I just wanted to give you a bit of an opportunity to tell us about your thinking here.
Well, it's a word that's being actually just sent around all over the place. Everyone's talking about it. And I feel that talking about the word as if it's the answer to everything doesn't actually go into what the issues of collaboration are, and that doesn't really discuss the issues of collaboration versus having a partnership with another organisation. So one of the things that I felt was really important to talk about is that any forced collaboration probably won't work in the long term. And what I mean by forced collaboration is where someone says, you must collaborate with this organisation if you want to get your funding, or you must collaborate with other organisations so that we can see more bang for our bucks, that sort of thing.
And that is not uncommon. You know, that's not uncommon language in our sector, right?
Yeah, no, it's not. And the thing is that collaboration only works when there are certain principles to it. And my belief is that everybody needs a foundation of trust and respect. And if we don't value each other's skills and our general well-being and the ability to value each other's diverse ideas, if we don't have similar values, how are we ever going to work together? So that's the collaboration thing. And if someone says, you've got to collaborate, and just throws you into another group, you haven't even had a chance to sit down and talk about joint values. There's going to be problems. In my opinion, there's going to be problems.
You know, when you say that, my head immediately goes to the years at university when you're required to do group work. You know, because it's the same thing, right, where often you don't have enough of a relationship to do anything together. There's always someone who doesn't pull their weight, or at the very least, others feel they're not, you know. And yeah.
And it's as simple as, they have a certain number of values. Say the organisation that you end up working with, their main value is that they must make money out of the project.
Yeah.
Whereas your value is that the project is more important than money, then straight off, you're working in two completely different directions, aren't you?
Absolutely. So tell me a little bit about partnership then and how that differs from collaboration.
You see, in partnership, there's often very clear roles and responsibilities. And if you have a partnership, it's usually a lot more formal and it can be quite long-term. And partnerships often have a legal side to them where you sign off legally saying what your risks and responsibilities and everything are. So it's a deeper kind of relationship. But some things need in a partnership to be mutually shared. And some of those include financial transparency, and you need to have flexibility, and you need to have a shared commitment to the partnership's success.
Mm.
And if either organisation goes off in a different direction from that, you have legal problems. And partnerships often involve cash decisions. So, for example, one partner might get some funding for something, and it might be all their money. So you've come in to provide maybe clients who can get involved in your plan, or you've come in with something else that's not financial. But what happens when your cash decisions, they don't agree, or you don't agree with their cash decisions, when it's their money, not yours, but you are supplying something in kind? It can get really messy, because often there's a legality involved. I actually believe collaborations are a better way to go for small NGOs specifically. But if you do have a partnership, you need to be really well covered with legal advice on that. It's much more complex, and the clear roles and responsibilities need to be set out before anybody signs a piece of paper.
Yeah, and it sounds like even with a collaboration, you know, as you were saying before, taking that time to get to know each other a bit and get to know what your roles are, you know, that you do that in a collaboration as well as a partnership if you want to give yourself your best chance, right?
Yeah, you don't just go in and say, yeah, we'll help you, tell us what to do. You don't do that.
Yeah.
You spend a lot of time working with each other, finding out if this is going to work or not. So it is another thing that you can't just do because someone says you should.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It's really interesting because, you know, I don't know of many other environments where two so-called competing businesses, for example, would be required to work together for outcomes, you know. Mm-hmm. So it is interesting that such an expectation is quite often just put upon charities and non-profit organisations.
Yes, it's unrealistic, and the people that put it upon you frequently don't think of it any further than that, because their attitude towards NGOs is they look on NGOs as something different than what we do.
Yeah, that's right.
She said tactfully.
Absolutely. I think it's really good to keep these conversations going. So putting together a blog and just getting that out there and having people talk about it. I mean, collaborations and partnerships are absolutely brilliant when they work right. They do create greater efficiencies potentially, greater impact because of bigger reach, you know, additional resourcing because of being able to, you know, share a lot of that. So there can be marvellous outcomes when it's done well, right?
Well, I think I said in my blog that myself and my team of Patty and Dan, we get tons of work done together, because as a collaborating team, we really rock. And that's how we get stuff done. If Patty just spends all his time with his feet up going, yeah, you two do it, we would not achieve, we would not achieve the huge number of things we do. Because people ring up and ask, you know, how many people are on your team? And I go, well, there's two full-time and one part-time.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, you're kidding.
Yeah, yeah.
You're kidding. How do you get all this stuff done? It's because we collaborate really well together.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to move now actually to Patty to talk a little bit about the Neighbourly Natters that you've started. And do you want to start by explaining the concept, what it is you're doing?
Sure thing. So one of the things over the last 3 years that I've been the membership engagement officer at CNA is our membership has grown from around about 42%, which is really cool. Also the meaning of life, the universe and everything. But it's also meant that with just the 2.5 of us, how do we engage with those on a really practical level?
Mm.
One of the things that I became aware of was that sometimes you'd go, oh, well, do you know that such and such is in your neighbourhood? And they go, oh, I didn't know that. And that became the start of this initiative where sometimes you are so focused on your work and you know your head's down, your bum's up, you're getting on with your work that you don't actually know who's beside you or who's got parallel ideas or kaupapa or what's going on. So what I did was set up a really simple thing too, because we're all time poor, we've all got too much work, we're all under-resourced, so I don't want to come into our membership and say, we're going to do this, you have to be on board.
Yeah.
So this was just an invitation.
Yeah.
It's just an invitation, a simple meet and greet. It lasts as long as it lasts, and it's about the possibility of collaboration and partnership, about the possibility of resource sharing and mutual support, and sometimes you just need to have a natter with somebody who is in the same boat as you. So over the 16 regions that we have in Aotearoa New Zealand, I set up a simple Zoom for 14 of them, because we have in two of the regions we have a limited membership. We thought,
yes,
you guys need to come on to this one because you're going to meet more people, and that's what this is about. And it simply was, just give us the who you are, what your organisation is, your elevator pitch, because we all kind of need to work on that, because that's so much fun. CNAs is ridiculous, it's because we have so much range, it's sometimes going, well, actually, do you have half an hour? And it simply was to say, all of you people are our whānau. We all share the same concern, we all share the same issues, we all share the same pain points. Is there any possibility of you just, you know, getting together for a coffee, just as a support mechanism? Or are you involved in something like recovery from a weather event, and you've put together some really good materials around that that somebody else might share?
Mm.
So we're doing that in each region, and our next phase is to share that across each other, so that if you're part of the CNA whānau, you go, oh my gosh, those people up in Northland, they're doing that. That's actually really similar to us. And again, as I say, it's an invitation. So if you want to go and contact those people, that's great, because we all need that support, we all need that connection. And if we don't want to reinvent the wheel, and if somebody else has started on that, you can gain really good traction, really good resources from what they're doing. And this is New Zealand to a T, isn't it? It's
yes.
Just, we get up and we go, hey, what are you up to? Oh, I'm doing this. Do you want a hand? And that's what it's about, just a quick conversation as a way to enable our membership to just realise not only that CNA covers, you know, from Bluff to Northland to Chatham Islands, but also to just recognise that there are other people. It's really interesting. We had, I think it was in Tauranga, a couple of people going, oh my God, you're just down the road.
Yeah, isn't that funny?
Yeah.
So it's open to members. Is it open to your members' members? Like, who can come?
That, I think, is where we'd love to progress to.
Yeah.
Because it means, you know, who is CNA? What do they do?
Yeah.
Are they presented to select committees? I didn't know about that. But the thing is, what it does is, if you're a member of CNA, then you go, this is one of our resources that we have access to, and actually so do you, because you're part of our membership. And so going forward, I would really love to open that out to our members, and then possibly the phase beyond that is to just a general call. But we certainly don't want to replace what's already there. Like, if there's a really good hub in a place, we're not looking to replace that. We don't do that at all. All we want to do is just make sure that our members just are aware of what's out there that they might be able to, you know, dip their toe into.
Mm. No, I love it. I think it's such a great idea. So you're doing these online, are you?
Yes, it's all Zoom. So, you know, I would love if we got substantial funding and we could go, hey, everybody, we're all going to go to Te Ao now.
Yeah.
Let's have a cup of tea in Te Ao now, because they're really cool. But we can't. So, I mean, this is the lovely thing with technology, is that you can enable people to meet other people, even though in Nelson, we have two members there who do know each other very, very well, and they're wonderful, wonderful people, wonderful groups.
Mm.
And they're literally on the same street.
Wow.
But we're Zooming.
Yeah. There you go, eh? But isn't that wonderful? Like, you know, those relationships are really critical, and it ties into what Roz is saying about collaboration and partnerships. But both of them start with really solid relationships.
Last year we had our conference, which was open to the sector and related organisations, and we had a fantastic presenter there called Nathan Rickey. And one of the things that I really took away from that conference is the phrase that he said, is that Māori move at the speed of trust.
Yes.
And from what I've seen from Roz's extensive background and time at CNA, is it's all about the relationships. It's all about taking that time to just sit down, have a coffee, have a conversation. You don't need to have success or no success. You don't have to have outcomes. You don't have to have, oh, here's our agenda, let's get through it. Just have a coffee and a chat and spill the tea, have a conversation, have a corridor, and that's where our sector is brilliant.
I think you're absolutely right, but, you know, as we go back to what you were talking about earlier, and it may have been you, Rod, saying, you know, as a sector, we're also really time poor. And so actually prioritising building these relationships can feel like, is this the best use of my time?
Yeah. But it's also about mental health, I think,
as
well.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just good to get, not that you have to have a meeting with another organization to discuss a project. Sometimes it could be that, you know, the executive officer of this organization or the executive officer of that organization who have some employment things they're thinking about, governance things they're thinking about, reports they're thinking about, just to chew the fat and just actually go, oh.
Yeah,
you know, it's just that human connection, which is at the base of everything we do.
And I think we learned a lot of those lessons during COVID as well, didn't we? About the importance of those relationships.
Yeah,
100%. Look, you know, we're a third of the way through. We've done two topics, so I want to turn us to the third so we've got enough time to speak a bit about the hui. The hui's exciting. 50 years, Roz.
I know. by next year, I would have been working here for 20 of those 50 years.
Wow.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Isn't that awesome?
I'm getting old.
We all are, Roz, we all are.
But, yeah, we're celebrating 50 years, and, of course, CNA didn't start off as CNA. CNA started off as the New Zealand Council of Social Services. And one of our board members, Andrew, he's actually been here for longer than me. And when I first started working here, that's what we were called, the New Zealand Council of Social Services. But, of course, we've rebranded and we're now CNA, and we're now looking at how we celebrate and that 50 years. We're going to do it at our hui. So we've got some exciting news. Do you want to tell the news, Patty?
Sure. One of the lovely things is that we've been collaborating with the Bank of New Zealand around how incorporated societies are re-registering. We've been advising them from a community perspective. So we're holding our hui. They're hosting us in their really wonderful BNZ Partnership Centre in Wellington. But just because it's a special, you don't turn 50 every day.
No.
We will be holding our celebration event during that day in Parliament.
Wow, now that is exciting. So tell me, what does that entail? What is that going to look like?
It's going to be a really, really cool, we're going to have slideshows, we're going to have stories, we're going to have presentations, going to cut the cake. Of course we're going to cut the cake.
Of course we're going to cut a cake, yeah.
We might be singing happy birthday, I feel.
I think we might.
But it's a chance, because this started because of the government, it's just a really good way for us to acknowledge that that's where it started, but we have become so much more since then.
Well, can I explain that, Patty, for people who are listening? As it, the New Zealand Council of Social Services first started off, it was set up by a government minister in 1974. And until 1985, we were actually part of government, and we became independent in 1985. But we started because this government minister who wanted to find a place where he could get information on all the NGOs without having to go out and meet them all, and he thought this was a great idea, and he wasn't that wrong, really. there's other things like, did he listen to what he heard? But, I mean, we won't go there. I think he set it up, and therefore our very initial beginnings were as actually a government department, and so it's extremely appropriate. Well, I don't know if we call us a government department, let's just say a quasi-government department, and I therefore think it's extremely appropriate that we are going to be able to hold the celebrations, and then after we've had the celebrations, we're going to have our lunch at Parliament.
Oh, that just sounds amazing. So are you expecting any politicians to be present?
Not really.
Great. Even better. No, I'm joking.
Well, that would turn it into a political event, wouldn't it?
That would, and it isn't a political event.
No,
right?
It's not a political event. So, we're yet to see if a politician hears about it and says, gee, I want to come, which does happen sometimes. But we know that Minister Upson can't turn up, and I think it'd be quite nice, just us bunch sitting there going, wow, look at us.
Yeah.
We're going to be in the Grand Hall, so it'll be fabulous.
Oh, it just sounds marvellous, and I think a really wonderful idea.
And a nice treat for people who've come from out of town.
Yes.
To actually experience being in Parliament, having lunch there, you know, having celebrations there. We thought, what a cool thing.
So, yeah, marvellous thing. I think it's an absolutely wonderful idea. So who's actually invited to this part of the celebration? Is it open to all members? Like, who's invited?
Well, we've got all the people who are already signed up to come to the hui, but we will have some additional people coming along. There's a lot of people who are no longer able to come to something like this, but we have got some old committee members. I don't mean old and as they're old, but previous committee members is a better way to say it. Some previous committee members, some people from government who have been, for instance, our funding managers and things like that. Some people who are currently our funding managers are coming along to celebrate with us. So there's some government people, some ex-committee members, some people that we've just worked with, for example, Sue Barker, who's a lawyer here in Wellington who works on not-for-profit organisations. She's a not-for-profit specialist. She's popping along because we've done quite a lot of work with Sue in the past.
She's been great supporter, hasn't she?
Yeah. So, you know, we're having a sort of mix of people who know us and who wanted to come along and celebrate with us.
I just think it's an absolutely marvellous idea. And what a great way to celebrate, you know, down at Parliament. Wonderful idea.
Yeah.
So tell me about the hui part then as well. So that's going to be at the BNZ after the celebration, is it? Or tell me about that.
Well, it's going to start there at the BNZ. And then at a certain point in time, we're going to get everybody sorted and off down the street to go to Parliament. Because
it's just a
5-10 minute walk away.
Yeah, yeah.
And prior to that, the first thing we'll have is we've got a panel talking about, as Paddy puts it so succinctly, how do you get the dosh?
Yes.
And the panel that's going to be talking about how do we get money, and I mean, this is always the issue, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's always the problem. Mm. We're so, as a whole sector, so horribly underfunded. So we're bringing into the panel our fantastic treasurer, Chris Claudel.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, if you haven't come across Chris before and you're listening to this, you are missing something, because Chris is the most amazing treasurer ever. And he's on the panel. And as well as Chris, we have the incredible Murray Edridge. So Murray's been a good friend to us recently, mm-hmm. over the last year or so. And Murray used to be the CEO of Barnardo's, and then he moved to the government side of work, and he worked for, I think it was Social Investment Agency back many years ago. And he now is the city missioner here in Wellington. He is a, I don't know what the word for it is, but he is a registered Anglican minister now.
Mm.
And he is a very, very smart man who managed to find millions of dollars for the building that he has set up in Wellington called Whakamaru.
Mm.
And Whakamaru is a building for people who are homeless. It's got everything in it, from hairdressing salons and a doctor's surgery, or, you know, not a surgery where they, but, you know, a doctor's hub. Libraries, it's got a church, it's got a supermarket for people who are homeless, it's got accommodation. It's just the most incredible building. So Murray's going to be there. And finally on that panel is going to be ex-MP Polto Williams. And Polto used to be the Minister of the Community and Voluntary Sector in for Labor, and she now is currently the CEO of an incredible organisation in Wellington called Challenge 2000. And, you know, Polto, having been an ex-MP, probably has a really, well, we're hoping, has a really good eyeball on what is happening with funding and how we survive. So, and I'm going to be taking the panel. That's me.
Wonderful. I mean, it's going to be amazing. I mean, it sounds like a great lineup. We know that people like Murray have done incredible work for some massive fundraising, which is absolutely marvellous. And you know, important to kind of get that breadth of knowledge and understanding, right? You know, from how to fundraise for those little groups to how do you get on and do those massive projects. So I think it will be a very, very interesting conversation.
Yeah, and it'll be after that that we pack everyone up and take them off to Parliament where they'll get a cup of tea and a bicky.
Excellent.
And then we'll go into the celebrations, then we'll follow by lunch. And Paddy, you can say what happens after everybody then gets herded back to the B&B.
sure thing. We've got two presentations. One of the things that we did last year at our conference was to make sure that our sessions were practical and you had good takeaways, because you could be presented with anything, but how do you actually really apply it? We've hit on two really, really good people. So first up, we have what we're calling Wicked Solutions for Wicked Problems.
Oh, I love it. Yep.
Yeah, the devil's in the details, so we're going to ask him. So this is Barry Baker. He's co-leader at Grant Thornton's not-for-profit team. And for the past decade or so, he's been working with not-for-profits, sharing strategy, support, advice. So he's going to bring, like, what are the go-to questions that he's often asked about that? Like, how can they help? What he'd say, if you're doing this, you might want to think about these things. But also, we hope, you know, at both sessions, we're going to have Q&A. So those people who are attending, have a good think, write some questions down, and we'll get on to that. Mm. But after him is Belinda Gorman. Now, Belinda has been helping organisations and people build their soft and hard skills for effective and meaningful collaboration for quite a while now. But we all talk about collaboration, as Roz has, with partnership. So this is called collaborating beyond the usual.
I love
it. You go, well, we need to work together. We need to work out what's going on. How do we do it? And we come up with the same kind of result. How do we think out of the box? How do we approach people who we might not think that we could collaborate with? Really reinvigorate our thinking around our partnerships with people. Because there are some times where you go, well, they're not really, you know, in line or parallel with us. But could they be?
Love it. And that has taken us right to the end of our show.
Cheers, Holly.
You've been listening to Connect with Community Waikato, Free FM 89.0.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.